I don't want to sound overly dramatic, but we're living in dangerous, dangerous days. I mean, folks, it's never been quite this way before. And it is especially true in what we term the church. Some dangerous things are happening in the church. Frightening things. I sometimes have a knot in my stomach at the things I hear Christians say and the things that are taught from pulpits. Honestly, I get nauseous thinking that people are actually swallowing this stuff and people are actually teaching this stuff. So I stand here today with the word of the Lord in my hand. And I'll begin in Matthew 24 when Jesus was standing with his disciples. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." He said, the whole city is going to be destroyed. It'll be razed. And it happened exactly how he said it in 70 A.D. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So to them, those questions were the most important questions about the most important thing in their lives. It was paramount in their thinking when they asked him, "When is all of this going to come to pass?" And Jesus answered and said to them, he did not give them a date. He did not even start with circumstances. The first thing Jesus said was, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Now, don't you think that if that's how he opened up his explanation or revelation of his second coming and the last days, if he started with that, it means it's the most important thing. Take heed that no one deceives you, talking to his disciples. And after he starts talking about different things, he then throws in another warning. "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness or iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold." So it can't grow cold unless it's first been hot. And you can't be deceived unless you've first known the truth. So the thing that I see throughout Scripture from all of the writers, especially the New Testament, is this thing of warning people about being deceived. In fact, Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says, I want us to all come to the unity of the faith. Come together and believe the same thing. Believe the Holy Scriptures. Delve into them and live by them. So that you can work for Christ. So that you can help one another. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. You hear that? Just thrown back and forth by every wind of doctrine, by every new thing that comes out, every new teacher that gets on television, every new apostle that comes to town, every new book that comes out by whomever. Get to the place that that stuff means nothing to you. You've already settled your mind on Jesus and His Word. You're not looking for a different slant. You just want more revelation. Because men and women can deceive and they can add to it and take away from it. But if you don't know it, you don't know what's been added or taken away from it. But I want to finish that verse, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It just blows all the time. By the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, folks, this is not just ignorant people teaching the wrong thing. This is a planned deception. The devil is behind it. He has gotten into the hearts and minds of self-centered, worldly people who call themselves to the ministry. They don't know the first thing about the hand of God being placed upon them. They don't know what the call is. They just thought they could make a good living from the pulpit and fill up a building. They thought that they like to be in front of people. They have good leadership skills and they have good verbal ability. So, wow, why not just be a preacher? But unless you are called by God, your goal will be to make people happy. And your goal will be to pay the bills and live way up higher than the people listening to you. And so that's what's happening today. And I am sorry to say, not just sorry, I am grieved to say, that people who know better are falling for every wind of doctrine. And they are gone. They're here for a while and they go there for a while. They follow this one and they follow that one. And when their favorite teacher commits adultery, they explain it away by saying, well, when you work 24/7 for God, sometimes you fall. He's just a man. She's just a woman. And I say, hogwash with all of that, because you can't excuse sin in your life. And if your favorite teacher committed adultery, they didn't do it in 6 hours. They've been working on that for years. Their heart has been hardened and they've been falling away from the truth. They've been making money on your gullibility, and you've not known enough about the Scripture to know the truth from what is false. So you have to defend them then. But I'd like to say you don't have to defend Jesus, because He knew no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And you don't have to defend the truth. The truth will stand up for itself. So if you stand on the truth and you live in Jesus, then you don't have anything to be worried about. There's no embarrassment whatsoever. I'm telling you right now, when the world's on fire, the truth will still be the truth and Jesus will still be the Lord. So I turned over here to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's telling a pastor. Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. You know, I feel like throwing up sometimes listening to what people call the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. Rebuke. Exhort. That means warn, with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come. You hear it? Not maybe. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not want to hear the truth, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, I know that not everybody here feels the responsibility to monitor the airways like I do. I need to know what's being taught, because so many of my sheep listen to those liars and those false Christs and false prophets and deceivers. Oh, there's some good ones there. And so often someone will come to me and say, what do you think of so-and-so? And I'll say, I like that guy. I've listened to him many times. But it's rare that I can say that. So I monitor this stuff, and I can tell you right now that there is very little doctrine being taught these days. There's a lot of opinion and a lot of encouragement and a lot of reminder that God created you to have anything and everything you want. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. Everybody knows how I feel about that. It's false teaching. It's false doctrine. Jesus didn't die so you could have a new car. Jesus didn't die so you could have a house with a pool in it. Jesus didn't die so you could live the good life of this earth. He died that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you can have an abundant life living in a pup tent. You can have Jesus and have everything. You have need of nothing if you have Jesus in your life. So this teaching today that people are eating up. Did you know that TV evangelism is a multi-billion dollar business? Did you hear me? A multi-billion dollar business. When the founder of it did not even have a boat to go across the Sea of Galilee in, the founder of our faith did not have a tomb of his own. The founder of the faith had to borrow somebody's donkey to ride into town. Something is wrong somewhere. So I tell you, brothers and sisters, that time has come when people will not endure sound doctrine. But because of what they want, they will get the people to tell them what they want to hear. And they'll turn their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Well, then Paul says another time that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, that's now, some will depart from the faith. Now, I don't care what your doctrine is about election or predestination, etc. We've argued for 2,000 years over it, and you just got to pick one or the other. But I will tell you that this is true, that the Spirit said expressly that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared, meaning they've allowed themselves to become hardened. They have allowed themselves to hear so much falsehood that the truth offends them now. And they have rejected it. So I'm just going to tell you something that the Lord laid on my heart there. I hope I say this the right way. Everybody in here is capable of being deceived. I don't care how many choir practices you attend. I don't care if you teach a Sunday school class. I can be deceived. And I can be deceived if I don't do certain things in my life, if I don't nurture, nourish, and cherish my faith, if I don't guard my heart, and if I don't put a filter on my ears, I have the capability of being deceived. I can be deceived if I'm prayerless. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many services you attend. Unless you have a prayer life, unless you get before God, unless you lay before the Lord, unless you say no to lots of things and yes to Him, unless there is committed, dedicated prayer time where you discipline your body, where you whip your flesh and kneel before you, your God, you can be deceived. I don't want anybody else to say to me, prayer is an attitude. I understand that prayer is an attitude, but that's also an excuse not to spend time before God. You're supposed to live in a spirit of attitude But you're supposed to have a time when you go somewhere and get before your God and spend time and let Him fill you while you minister to Him. I can be deceived if I am ignorant of Scripture. This is the pure Word of God. This is not a commentary on what God said. This is exactly what God said. And if this is first and foremost in your life, you don't have to worry about cunning craftiness and men deceiving you. If you know what thus saith the Lord, you'll know when God's Word is being perverted. I can be deceived if I am obsessed with worldly issues. I want that one to sink in. I can be deceived. And I'm going to say that some have already been deceived because of worldly issues. But you tried to turn them into spiritual issues. No. They're worldly issues. But you got so upset, so angry, that you have seen something happen in you. Your joy was snuffed out. You're on the verge of being deceived. God didn't call His people to get so wrapped up in this world and its affairs that we become angry people or militant people. We've had a number of families leave the church here because I wasn't political enough. And some left because I was too political. Oh, yeah. Some say I didn't support this person in office or that person in office enough. I'm not here to support anybody in office. I'm not here to support anybody in office. I'm not here to push worldly issues, political issues, national issues. This is not the first time I've said this, but apparently people aren't listening to me. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I only have one theme, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and coming back again, and you better live right. Get it? Get it. I am not here to try to put somebody in office or keep somebody in office. When it happens, it happens. I'm moving on with Jesus. But I have watched the deception manacle members of this church. I can be deceived if I'm angry. You see, anger is the environment in which Satan does his best work. If plants have to have warmth and moisture to grow, Satan and evil have to have hatred and darkness to grow. You have set yourself up for deception if you are angry at anybody, even God. You have put yourself out there for trickery and cunning craftiness. If there are certain people you're angry at because they believe a certain way politically or even doctrinally, yes, I said it. You are setting yourself up to be tricked. You've already been tricked by the devil. I can be deceived if I have unforgiveness in my heart. That's another part of the environment that evil and anti-Christian attitudes flourish in. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. I guess the older I get, the more I fear unforgiveness in my own life. And I began to see it as a sly way that Satan uses our own pride to keep us from saying, "Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I am sorry." We give ourselves permission to let it go on for a while. We got to stew. But you got to remember, as long as you're stewing, the devil is working. I could be looking at people here today, or you could be looking at me right now, that will end up being deceived by some windy doctrine if you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. You cannot survive the hellish temptations and deceptions of this last day. Jesus said, and many false Christs and false prophets will come and teach many things and would deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. Meaning, if I didn't put a stop to it, their chicanery would even trick God's own people. And so I'm telling you with all of the energy that I can muster today, every day we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. There's only one man that we ought to build things for. There's only one man we ought to cry out for. There's only one man. Hey, I feel like preaching now. There's only one man that was born of a virgin. One man that lived a sinless life. One man that was nailed to an old rugged cross. One man that was put in a tomb, and only one man came out on the third day. There's only one man that sits at the right hand of the Father, hearing us when we pray. There's only one man who's coming back in the clouds of glory to catch away those who believe in Him. There's only one man who's going to sit on the throne while the nations bow at His feet. That man is Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah.